This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, and I have joining me, as he calls himself, Just a Farmer. And I think he's really being very modest because his name is Rob Sharkey, and he has a podcast called Shark Farmer Podcast. He's pretty well known on social media, but he is a farmer. So, hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Are you inside or outside right now?
I am sitting upstairs in my hunting lodge right now.
Oh.
Where I know that I've got good reception.
So a hunting lodge, is that part of your home or is that a whole different building?
No, it's a whole different building.
Okay. Yeah. And where are you? What state are you in?
I am in Illinois.
Okay. Illinois, my sister used to live in Belleville. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, by Chicago.
Yeah. Well, not really, but more like St. Louis, actually. But
one end to the other.
My impression of Illinois is pretty flat. Are you in a pretty flat area?
I'm right on a ridge.
Oh, okay.
So I'm about 1,100 feet above sea level.
Oh,
so that's,
okay.
I'm surrounded by the windmills because they want them up high.
Oh, nice. Have you ever been out to our neck of the woods out in western North Carolina?
I was just out in eastern North Carolina.
Very different than where I live. What were you doing in eastern? Can I ask? Is it like a secret?
No, I was no, nothing that seedy.
Okay. I don't know. I put him on the spot.
I was out with the hashtag Dirt Road Tour. We visited a tobacco farm.
Nice.
And just cotton farms and all the agriculture out there.
Yeah, I was out there last summer. I went out to visit one of our big sweet potato growers. It's, of course, I don't know if you know this, but North Carolina is the largest sweet potato producing state. Did you know that?
Yes, and you're very proud of it.
We are very proud of it. Me personally, somewhat proud, but we are very proud of it. Yeah, but very interesting to see sweet potatoes. And a lot of those farms rotate between sweet potato and tobacco, or also growing tobacco, or started off as tobacco farms and now doing sweet potato and other crops. But and then I also went out and saw Smithfield out there in Tar Heel, North Carolina, which is their largest largest production facility in the United States is in Tar Heel.
It's a whole lot of hogs.
It is a lot of hogs. I mean, the amount that go through there on a daily basis is pretty mind-boggling. We eat a lot of pork. Do you eat a lot of pork?
I am a fan of bacon.
Yes.
I like to put it on everything.
That my husband is right there with you. He grew up in North Carolina, and his motto is, with bacon, you can't go wrong with bacon. Everything's better with bacon. That's what we say here in North Carolina. But yeah, big area. But so the eastern part of the state, just is the soil wise, because you probably look at stuff like that, tends to be more sandy or probably more clay too, I would imagine.
It was kind of a mix there, which is, like you said, about the only crops that they were able to grow would be tobacco and cotton and sweet potatoes, which with the tobacco becoming less and less demand, those guys are trying to figure out what to do next out there.
Yeah, it's becoming a lot of viniculture in North Carolina. I don't know about that area, but along the coast you see a lot of that, like muscadine wine kind of stuff. But where we live is up in the mountains, so I'm at about 2,200 feet, so I'm twice as high as you are. That sounded really weird.
It's almost like you're rubbing it in.
That sounded really weird to say that, but yeah, we're in the Great Smoky Mountains, and so how big is the farm you're on? I know you farm corn and soy, right?
Yeah, but you can't ask a guy how many acres he farms. That's like asking him how much you weigh.
Oh, that's right. Like, I heard that.
Yeah, that's a taboo.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally is.
Oh.
Yeah, because we don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
Every reason possible. Because either you're small and you don't want to admit it, or you're mid-sized and you don't want to act mis-, or you're big and you don't want to admit that. So, yeah, it's just Yeah, guys never say.
You know, and that's funny because last summer also I was out at Stimmelt Orchards in Washington State, and they supply us with a lot of our apples and cherries. And I asked them that question, and they wouldn't tell. They were like very vague. They were like, "It's a lot." I think that's what they actually said. It's a lot. There's a lot. We've got a lot of acres. And actually they have them in not only in the United States, but also I think in, South America, right? So they would not say to me how many acres. So now that makes perfect sense that you don't want to brag, or you don't want to look like you're nothing too special. Okay. So anyway, around here, if you have 50 or 100 acres, that's a lot of acreage. And chances are where we are, because it's a lot of mountains, if you had 100 acres or 500 acres, half of that would be unfarmable because it would be on the side of a mountain. So you'll have, a lot of times you'll have farmers say, well, you know, I have 500 acres, but I can only really farm like 100 because the rest of it's up the side of a mountain. So you hear that quite a bit around here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maybe the Smoky Mountains aren't that great.
Well, not in terms of farming. It, you know, it used to be a big tobacco area, this area, and then we've transitioned to a lot of specialty crops. But that's been the big transition. But yeah, we don't grow a lot of the row crops like corn and soy and things like that. I think they're trying to do hemp out here now. That's the next one.
Have you? Yeah, but that's not the kind you smoke, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, because it doesn't have the
rope and stuff out of
THC. Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, we've been kind of going off on a little tangent here. I want to make sure we mention that to find Rob Sharkey's podcast, you go to sharkfarmer.com. And what are you on Twitter? Tell everybody what your handle is on Twitter.
It's an awful handle.
I know it's an awful handle. Thank you.
Yes. If you search Shark Farmer, I'm sure you'll find me. Actually, I do have at Shark Farmer. And if you go there, it sends you my other one. But my Twitter handle is at SF28430.
Do you regret that?
Well, yeah, I do.
At SF28430? Yeah. Okay.
It's Shark Farmer 2, and then 8430 is the best tractor ever made.
I thought it was like the PIN number for your bank account or something like that.
You can go ahead and try.
Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Hour. We're talking to Rob Sharkey, sharkfarmer.com. He does podcasts. We'll be talking more about his podcast. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Hour. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know one of the things that I really like to do is talk about agriculture and farming and try and help consumers and our customers understand a bit more about what's going on at the farm level, and so that they can enjoy their food and not be afraid of it. And one of the people that I have sort of been stalking, lurking, observing for a while on social media is Rob Sharkey. There he is. He's sharkfarmer.com. He does a lot of podcasts. And so, Rob, how did you get into this space of doing these podcasts, like, you know, as a farmer? Like, where did that come from? Where did that idea come from?
Well, I'm thinking that I need to change it now because, like, you have breaks and you're all professional and stuff.
Yeah.
I just ramble on.
You do, but it's fun. It's fun to listen to. So, yeah.
Okay. You do you, Rob.
Don't try and be me. And
don't try to live up to you and your high altitude. I got it. Okay.
That's right.
No, I had I'm an outfitter, so I had a hunter come in, and she was more of a social media hunter, Carrie Zelka, and she does the Hunt Fish Travel podcast, and got talking to her, and, you know, she was telling me how to do it and everything, and, you know, I'm pretty vain, so I'd like to hear myself talk, so that's how it all got started.
And how long have you been doing the podcast now?
Just a little over a year.
Oh, is that all? And you've done, how many have you done now? Is it more than 60?
Yeah, I think I just did 63, but
wow.
I had some bonus episodes in there. So I'm probably pushing around 100.
That's great.
Yeah. I do too. So I do, that one's just a farmer to farmer one.
That's okay.
Inside the echo chamber.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get out of it with Farmer and a City Girl, and
oh,
I'm doing
right.
that now with Leslie Kelly High Heels and Canola. She's from Regina, Saskatchewan.
I've heard, yeah, she follows me on Twitter, so I know her as well. Yeah, well, that's fun. So I know that your podcasts always aren't with specifically with farmers, but is that how you started out, just interviewing farmers?
No, like I said, with Carrie, you know, being on the hunting side, you know, I've been an outfitter for, 18 years now. So I've got like a notebooks full of hunting stories.
Oh, okay.
So I was just going to do that.
Oh, okay.
But to launch there, I put out 5. And I did 3 hunting and 2 with farmers. And the 2 with farmers took off. So, you know, at least I have a bit of common sense. So I knew it was being listened to. And farming is my real passion. So it's kind of a natural fit.
And you said you're farming soy and corn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are both of those are they genetically engineered corn, soy, BT? Like what are you farming?
Yeah, 100% GMOs.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the questions: do you get a lot of questions from people online about GMOs?
I don't know if we get a lot, but yeah, I'll get some, you know, just asking what they are,
okay,
why we grow them. You know, once you throw out like the trolls and the bots and everything that pick up on whenever you say GMO,
right?
There are some people that have some legitimate questions out there about them.
So I saw I put out on social media that I was going to be talking to you. And one of my friends who's the dietitian, Roseanne Rust, asked the question if there's so much pressure we hear a lot of people saying, you know, why are you growing GMOs? You should switch to all fruit and vegetable crops. How would you respond to that if somebody came to you and said, you know, you should just stop growing GMO corn and soy and switch to vegetables? How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, with corn and soybeans, you could make an argument that we're growing the meat because it goes to feeding animals,
okay,
cows and pigs and chickens and all that. You know, of course, a lot of our corn goes to ethanol to make, you know, gas for the car. But, you know, the byproduct of that, I mean, really only a third of it is going to the ethanol, the byproduct still being fed. So what we are doing is going to meat. So we are raising livestock with the crops that I grow, you know, not personally, but that's where they're growing. As far as like the GMO, you know, I've been farming since I came back to the farm in 96, and that's right before GMOs were really starting to take off.
Right.
And the difference between farming then and farming now is amazing, because the products that we used to put on per acre then was a ton more. You were putting on a lot of pesticides, a lot more herbicides, all sorts of things that now are genetically engineered into the plant. So, you know, as a guy out here that's living where I farm, you know, I'm really thankful that we have GMOs, because I feel like I'm in a much healthier place environmentally out here than, say, it was even just, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
And you have girls, right? You have children. I know you have at least one daughter, right?
Yeah, 3 boys and a girl.
Oh, 3 boys and a girl. Okay.
Yep.
Is your hope that the farm will eventually pass along to them?
Yeah, I would like to. I'm not going to push any of them into it. They are the 6th generation to live on this home farm where I live right now. But I don't want to put anything on there. I don't want them to feel like they have to be the next generation and keep it going. But I also want to make it available if they want to come back. And right now, they're like, all of them want to come back, which completely freaks me out, because
yeah,
I would have to get a lot bigger to do that.
And you mentioned that you came back to the farm. What were you doing when you were away? Is that, again, is that like one of those personal questions that you can't answer?
Very personal. I chased my wife down to Southern Illinois University.
Ah.
Well, she wasn't my wife then, but, you know, that all paid out. You know what I'm saying?
And what was your major?
Agribusiness economics.
Ah, okay. So that's helped out, right? Being a farmer?
Not really.
Not really.
Well, I mean, I got the girl, so I guess it worked out.
I want to make sure again we mention to folks who are just maybe just tuning in that you can find Rob Sharkey in his Shark Farmer podcast by going to sharkfarmer.com. He's also on Twitter, and I'm not even going to pretend that I paid attention to what his memorized his Twitter handle, so you're going to have to say it again, Rob.
Yeah. At SF28430, or just search Shark Farmer.
Okay. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Hour. We're going to be talking more with Rob Sharkey. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah again. I'm your Ingalls dietitian. I am the voice that you hear when you walk into our Ingalls stores. You can find me on ingalls-markets.com. Click on dietitian. You can listen to previous podcasts at ingallsinfoaisle.com and hear some of the interviews I've done with all different people, as I've said, infamous and famous both. And I think, Rob, you might fall into the infamous category.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
You just have a bit of a reputation. You do. You have a bit of a reputation. I listened to a couple of your podcasts. I find it really interesting because, you push the envelope a little bit, and not in a negative way, but you're kind of.
Yeah, it is.
You think so? Okay. But I was going to say, I was trying to think about how to describe that when I was listening to some of them. And, you know, I've kind of like Oprah meets Graham Norton. I don't know if you know. I know you know Oprah, right?
Oh, yeah. So I know her well.
Do you know Graham? Yeah. Personally, you know Oprah?
I wish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you know who Graham Norton is?
I know the name. He's like British.
Yeah, he does a British talk show, but yeah. He kind of asks really unexpected things. And, so I think that you do that a lot. You ask things that maybe the routine podcast or interviewer wouldn't necessarily ask. But on the Oprah side of things, I think you also tap into some emotional moments for a lot of your guests that I'm sure maybe you've told them to expect to that question, but that you don't often hear brought up in normal podcasts either, which makes them, I don't know, more revealing and more interesting to listen to too. So that's a compliment, Rob, just so you know.
Well, in it, that it has evolved quite a bit. And I go off a very, very short, rough outline.
Right.
So, I mean, two or three things that we're going to talk about. But my earlier podcast, I would talk a lot because I like to hear myself talk. But right. I think the more that I found myself listening, the podcast got better.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're talking to someone and you really listen to them, a lot of times they're going to drop some hints or something of something they want to talk about, but are just going to come out and say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like my audio tracks now to be about me talking maybe 10 to 20% of the time and the guests to be talking the rest.
Well, you know, you were mentioning earlier that you're around 60 or over 60 podcasts that you've done. Are there some that really stand out in your mind that people ask you about, or they mention a lot, or that were some of your favorite guests to interview? I mean, you haven't interviewed me yet, so that's not gonna, we can just cross that right now off the list. So, you know, maybe someday, but what are some of your, who were some of your favorite guests or favorite episodes?
Well, I got a message from a guy that I followed on Twitter called Matt Chambers, and he was telling me about his son that had an accident involving a tractor running over a pickup truck.
Mm.
And he had been kind of, you know, he hadn't been able to speak for a couple of years and, you know, hadn't been able to walk. That one, you know, that one's that's the one that really sticks out to me for, you know, a few reasons. Number one, the audio on that screwed up at the end. So I called him back and I said, hey, can we redo the ending? And he said, I would love to, because after 2 years, you know, Caleb has now said his first words.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we got to end on that. And that one, the downloads on that one just skyrocketed and kind of launched into me into the next plateau. And, you know, for quite a while, he was the most downloaded. You know, as you gain audience, of course, it does it. Right now, I had Steve Pitstick, who is a good friend of mine, who talked about, you know, divorce and agriculture. And he also talked about his son who came out and said he was gay to him. And Steve being very open about how he was in a different mindset when he was younger compared to now. That one, you know, that one meant a lot to me, too. You know, Steve's a good friend, and that one really spiked, too. So those are a couple that really stick out.
Well, I think some of the things that you talk about are issues that, you know, the figure that a lot of us hear is that are only 2% of people or less, slightly less than 2% of the people in the United States have farming as their occupation. So many of us getting that sort of insight to what life in the farm is like is it's kind of precious, you know, that and to hear that it's not this romantic place, that there's really tough stuff that goes on, whether it's dealing with divorce in the farm or injuries on the farm. I know that you did a lot about the forest fires that happened too. That was something mm-hmm. that you talked about. So these and how they affect farmers, you know, this is really important work that you're doing, Rob, to kind of give people insight into what's going on the farm.
Well, we really don't talk that much about farming because you can get that anywhere.
Sure.
I mean, you can get farmer interviews where they're going to tell you about how much potassium they put on per acre and that. That's not the route I wanted to go. I wanted to learn about these people that I'm talking to.
Yeah, it is really more of I don't know, kind of like an expose. It is kind of like Oprah meets Graham Norton. I don't, yeah, because you do have that humorous element to a lot of the interviews that, you know, I'm sure is a big part of your personality that you seem to have a very good sense of humor. And so you like to do puns and things like that. So that's fun to listen to, too. So it's enjoyable, but also a little heart-wrenching at times to listen to some of that.
Well, you got to have fun in life, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's, I love doing interviews and talking to people. And I think you're absolutely right that, you know, the best questions are the ones that get people to open up about something that they really maybe want to talk about, but weren't planning on talking about. So, we want to again mention to find Rob at sharkfarmer.com. You can see a little bit more about all the different episodes he has, and you can engage with him on Twitter. Do you have a Facebook page too, Rob?
No. What's that?
Rob, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingalls Information Aisle, and we'll look forward to having some great conversations with you on Twitter.
You bet.